information is free.
The law.
There is hope.
When ignorance is converted into knowledge.
We care.
Appear to border
it shows.
The law.
The country.
You will remember nine you have seen or heard here.
Whether he went on with the diary, or whether he did not cooperate, it made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.
Making a soundtrack, for another planet to hear. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 242 of Media Monarchy, December 9th, 2011. My name is James Evan Pilato, your host and webmaster of the site and show, your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. 242 has lessons, liquid, and expertology. West Virginia mine finds and the return to Virginia Tech. Deliverance, drift away, and the in-out crowd news purge. Plus Voyager, sexting, and Triple X. The Devil's 11, bewitching burials in Pedorama. Eye of Newt, stuff a bus, and eating more kale on the Oregon Trail. All that and so very much more. December 9th, 2011, episode 242. From MediaMonarchy.com.
Hello, I'm Johnny Cash.
Oh yeah, let's take a trip. Just sit back and let us flip with this and don't slip on a fucking dope track. Jump back, strap with a fat Buddha sack in a 7-8 black. Don't clean, gangster lean, I got green, but I served up like it ain't no thing. I hang with OG players, don't set trip for you might get what we call a rat pack. I don't slack when it comes to street. I get real G-funk to a gangster beat. It's so sweet when you got money to spend. I gotta pop a big tilt and a fly big fence. I make ends, spend my dough on those foes. That's how it is and that's how it goes. Act like you know when I creep real slow. Giving love to them players that I know is real G.
When I was just a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry.
Jumped up on fools with a quickness, and they got no cure for this sickness. I get paid for the way that I get this. Like a G-star, an OG-star, a real player named Easy. And I live my life straight crazy. Don't need no punk fools paying me. And roll groupies and hoochies don't faze me. I take 2 steps back and release myself. It was platinum and gold on a record show. I don't brag, but I tell it like a straight up fizz. Before you do a record, partner, handle your business. And don't get caught slipping over under. You might wonder, what's up on me? I call a spade and get paid. She showed the way, so I give love to her.
When I was just a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry.
And be a dog, a straight up hog. I leapfrog to the sound of a gangster beat, so I can hear my record bumping on the Compton Street. That OGBIMP and low G and low hip hop thunder so quick to rush the straight to the dirt. Fool, I do work. Nobody move, nobody get hurt. That's how it is when it comes to me. Cause I'm the short but wicked player named Easy. Women can't play me, some say I'm crazy, but I don't think so. Call me pure loco. I can sit down by the scanner's trick. Let me hit it one time, the trick that's it, but don't trip. Gets my dough to no foe. That's how it is, I got no love for you.
When I was just a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry.
Let me hear you say ho, if you make it straight slow. If you got love for them players, let me hear you say ooh, ladies, who want you? If you got love for them straight jeans and you wanna be there, just hey.
Folsom Prison Gangsters. DJ Top Cat grabbed it off YouTube. Johnny Cash, Eazy-E. I love mashups. And we ended last week's episode with a chunk of coal from Johnny Cash, so it's only fitting we continue this week with episode 242 of MediaMonarchy.com, December 9th, 2011, with the way we left off in the news, in the media, in the memes, and they never stop. This is your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups, coming to you live, as always, every Friday morning, 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org, in the People's Republic of Oregon, and of course, simulcast worldwide, thanks to ZeroPointRadio.com and ReveRadio.net, both internet and terrestrially. Huge thanks to them as well, one of our latest affiliates, KDXRadio.com. And you can find all of our archives, audio, video, high quality, low quality, on RadioForAll.net and Archive.org. We're on FaceSpace, Twitter, Tube, Tumblr, Gmail, Skype, Instant Messenger, all the social portals. If that's where the people are, we're going to go to that crowded digital town square. And we always like to thank TragedyAndHope.com for the community. And I want to thank you for taking the time, wherever and whenever you are in the world, receiving this transmission. So very much to go over this week. And as we glance at the breaking news, a lot of important moves on the world shell game stage. Of course, we will return to Virginia Tech, but a quick note as we see it now. Police say Virginia Tech gunman changed clothes after killing officer. Motive still unknown. Gunman was not a student. Acted alone. Meanwhile, a treaty to save the euro may split Europe. Or rather, a treaty to save the entire game. Hostage video of ex-FBI agent is released. Family of former FBI agent who vanished in 2007 releases a hostage video showing him alive and asking for help. Video courtesy of Reuters. Food prices likely to remain high. Syrian protests spread. And the other trending names are James Cameron, Barry Bonds, and Ron Paul. We'll always leave the breaking news page open so we can catch the latest developments and get them on the record for you here. Media Monarchy, a show unlike any you'll find. A massive data dump of information, synchromysticism, media, and the memes all put together, and we're calling it The Real News Remixed. I was also going to mention we'll keep the breaking news page open just to see if Eric Holder resigns. But we'll get to that. We'll begin with all the alternative media that I'm humble and proud enough to be associated with in some way, shape, or form, and I love to try and promote any of the folks out there of a kindred spirit in this independent alternative media world. Episode 94 of The New World Next Week is posted, along with a redesigned newworldnextweek.com page. Cleaner, nicer, easier. Dig it. The stories discussed on the latest episode, we will touch on throughout this episode 242, but just to run down the order. Sandusky cuffed on new sex abuse charges. Meanwhile, all the other related pedophilia scandals and sex crime cases breaking, and it all relates back, at least in recent history, to the conspiracy of silence, the Franklin scandal. Second story concerns the detention camp order. Coming on the heels of Senate Bill 1867, the National Defense Authorization Act, government activating FEMA camps across the U.S. That seems to be the hype, the scuttlebutt, the talk, the chatter. And the third story, Gingrich renews food stamp attack on Obama. That we'll discuss. And the other thing about the New York Times trying to make it look like Ron Paul is a has-been, as the mainstream media still bends over backwards to not discuss Ron Paul. EU summit on debt crisis faces uncertain prospects. We also referenced that on the latest episode, number 94 from NewWorldNextWeek.com, my weekly video series. Myself and James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. He does all the amazing video work. I just show up with the stories. This leads to all the other amazing, massive, nonstop media coming from CorbettReport.com. Episode 211, Expertology. The experts always know best, or do they? Episode 211 scrutinizes the media's ready reliance on experts to say what the establishment wants to be said and what this practice means for the rise of the scientific dictatorship. This was something I even remember hearing Jello Biafra talk about on his spoken word albums that I listened to back in the 90s. Ask the experts. Some of the latest Corbett Report videos, NGOs in the war on Libya, pipeline politics and the rewiring of Eurasia, and police state Canada from the McDonald Commission to the G20. That plus interviews with Dan Dix, Bob Chapman, Mark Morano, Dr. Tim Ball, Sibel Edmonds, so much more. Videos, interviews, radio shows have been put out since I've posted this. Just always tip my hat to James Corbett. And I want to thank him for what I'll briefly mention right here. We launched last night on his new live five nights a week show on RBN. We're going to do a Food World Order coverage. About 20 minutes. And we're going to cover Food World Order stories as those become the more important things around the world. As the global food crisis deepens, as we've seen and will see. So that episode has already been posted as part of Corbett Report Radio. And again, if you go to CorbettReport.com, hit the feeds, you can get any individual ones or all of the feeds all at once. And mark that down as well. Just another way to try and get this information out in different avenues and even kind of build out the redundancy to get this kind of information out. Part 5 has been posted from the fine folks of PeaceRevolution.org, and that's episode 45 of the Peace Revolution podcast, The Ultimate History Lesson. And this is part 5 of The Ultimate History Lesson with John Taylor Gatto. The entire multimedia package coming very soon from TragedyAndHope.com. And we do have, and we just posted to their previous episode 44 of the Ultimate History Lesson Part 4, the massive amount of notes and references and links have been posted. And we always mention that, you know, we appreciate other hosts that provide all that kind of information and take the extra time to add that in to the media. I try and add in as much extra media as I can within the podcast that you can download and subscribe to. You'll find so much data within there if you kind of crack it open. But I digress. However, I suppose, speaking of cracking it open, our man Clyde Lewis of GroundZeroMedia.org, latest episodes and articles posted under Liquid Jackboot, New World Odor, and much more. 1984 to 2011, a jackboot stomping on the human face forever. That's the article to go along with the episode. However, on Ground Zero TV, December 1st, a live pepper spray demonstration, the liquid jackboot to the face. SHTF, the new odor of the ages. And we're going to take a moment now to listen to one of the behind-the-scenes Ground Zero clips, because I think it ties in with all of the other things that we've covered and will cover in all the different worlds of corrupt politics and corrupt food. So let's get GroundZeroMedia.org, Ground Zero TV, behind-the-scenes breakdown on the Eye of Newt, Nazis, and the New World Order.
I'm Clyde Lewis, and tonight we talk about, what else, the New World Order. My guest tonight will be Chris Tyson. He's the man who's written America's New World Order. It's more along the lines of an apocalyptic look into the New World Order and how it's basically a government that's forged in occult practices, and that there is an occult type of connection to what is happening with the New World Order, the reason why we all seem to abide by it and we don't fight it. In fact, H.G. Wells once said that the New World Order, a lot of people would die protesting it, but it seems that many people are protesting several different things, but not the encroachment of civil rights. Now that we're seeing the passing of this new enactment of the Defense Authorization Act and all the other things that we're seeing going on. In fact, Barack Obama said that he would veto the act because he said he didn't want to hold prisoners indefinitely, and the reason why is because the Geneva Convention would have to be employed here, and they want to be able to torture some of these prisoners to get some of the information out of them. What kind of country are we if we're doing this? Hitler once said when he wrote his second book after Mein Kampf, which really didn't get published, but he said something to the effect that in order for the Third Reich to, in order to protect people from the Third Reich, there will have to be an even more powerful Reich to happen afterward. And it seems that that is happening now. It seems that we're seeing more reversals of rights. We're seeing more and more people becoming popular in the media, popular in political polls, many of them popular, and we don't know why they're popular, because they have such strange ideas, and many of them are all behind this new world order of blood and this new world order of war. In fact, Newt Gingrich, who is now the front runner in the polls for the GOP nomination, I was going through some old quotes that he had talked about and had said, and I found this video that I want to play for you now. It's a video of him speaking about the Bush administration and why the Bush administration failed. It's because they didn't let enough terrorism happen in this country. Let's take a look.
I think we have one more question. Yes, ma'am. Why have we not been hit by since 9/11? It's a good question. My first answer is I honestly don't know. I would have expected another attack, and I particularly thought, I was very, very worried and talked to the administration when we had the sniper attacks, because the sniper attacks were psychologically so frightening to the average person because of their randomness. That I thought, I was amazed that the bad guys didn't figure out how to send 10 or 12 sniper teams. I think there are a couple things, though, that we tend not. This is, by the way, one of the great tragedies of the Bush administration. The more successful they've been at intercepting and stopping bad guys, the less proof there is that we're in danger. And therefore, the better they've done at making sure there isn't an attack, the easier it is to say, well, there was never going to be an attack anyway. And it's almost like they should every once in a while have allowed an attack to get through just to remind us. But I mean, think about the psychology. You know, why did we wrap up so many people? Well, because we wiretapped. And again, I'm going to be a little controversial. I would divide the FBI into two agencies. I would have an anti-domestic crime FBI, which was very cautious, very respectful of civil liberties. You were innocent until proven guilty. And I would have a small but very aggressive anti-terrorism agency. And I would frankly give them extraordinary ability to eavesdrop. And my first advice to civil libertarians is simple. Don't plot with terrorists.
Well, there you have it. Newt Gingrich saying, well, maybe we should have an FBI that's a little nice, kind of a PR type of FBI. And then we have another FBI that has full reign to do what it wants, to detain people, to torture them, to do whatever. And his whole idea here is if we don't plot with terrorists, we have nothing to worry about. Well, that was back in 2008. Now he's running for president. He is now the top contender for that GOP nomination for President of the United States. We now have the Defense Authorization Act in the works. Carl Levin, John McCain, they also believe in the same thing. You notice that this has all been part of the program for the longest time. The idea that we need to be more harsh and we need to be more bloodthirsty. We need to go after people, even if they blink a certain way or twitch a certain way. Just like out of 1984, it was called face crime, thought crime. And this is where we are now. 2 + 2 = 5. I'm Clyde Lewis. This is Ground Zero Behind the Scenes.
Some of the other articles on groundzeromedia.org, World Control and the Absurdity of Planets, Tracking the Alien Menace, Pogrom Exterminatus, Here Lies Man, Man Hears Lies. The Absurdity of Planets. We have new planets, and we'll cover that when we get to cyberspacewar.com. That's all the alternative media from groundzeromedia.org, peacerevolution.org, corbareport.com, and more. I'll throw in a mention, too. I did my monthly appearance with bobtuscan.com on Oracle Broadcasting. And again, subscribe to the Intel Hub podcast, and you already got that episode Wednesday night, December 7th. But if you go to the redesigned youtube.com/MediaMonarchy, in the coming days, you will see the four-part videos posted up from Bob Tuscan Show. When we closed last week's episode 241, referencing the imminent release at the time of the federal report on the Upper Big Branch mine disaster in my home state of West Virginia in 2010, April, we went out with Johnny Cash, A Chunk of Coal. And now here we are from WVRecord.com. West Virginia mine owner to pay record fine. Feds unveil $210 million settlement in U.S. mine blast. The Justice Department on Tuesday, December 6th, announced an agreement with Alpha Natural Resources totaling nearly $210 million in payments connected to the 2010 Upper Big Branch mine disaster. An explosion on April 5, 2010 claimed the lives of 29 miners at the site, which was then owned by Massey Energy. Alpha took over Massey in a merger earlier this year. The agreement announced Tuesday, which coincidentally was West Virginia Miners Day, is the largest ever for the resolution of a criminal investigation of a mine disaster. A press release from U.S. Attorney Booth Goodwin says the agreement, quote, addresses only the corporate criminal liability of the former Massey, not potential criminal charges for any individual.
The deadliest mine disaster in U.S. history has resulted in the largest ever federal settlement. The owner of the Upper Big Branch mine in West Virginia will pay $210 million. 29 men died in the April 2010 blast inside the mine. Federal prosecutors say $46.5 million will be paid in criminal restitution to the miners' families. $28 million will fund mine safety upgrades, research, and training. Alpha Natural Resources will also pay $35 million in penalties for federal mine safety violations. Alpha acquired Massey Energy, the owner of the mine at the time of the disaster, earlier this year. Prosecutors called the deal a non-prosecution agreement, but they stressed it doesn't bar any future prosecutions of individuals.
One update from the Associated Press. Families demand prosecutions in West Virginia mine blast, so that would reference those words from attorney Booth Goodwin. Not potential criminal charges for any individual, so this has not gone away, and of course it would not go away. I give the flashback links to our own original exclusive coverage of the Montcoal mine disaster back on this show in April of 2010. Interview with Reverend Billy, an interview with my father who was on the scene. And, of course, we also provide the links in the press releases from the Justice Department, from the West Virginia Gazette, and as well from MSHA.gov, and that's the Mining Safety and Health Administration. That's who put out this report. The link to their page, the entire pretty much kit and caboodle, the videos, the audio, the PDFs, and all of those things. And as we always say and remind you to do, if you're doing anything like this in the alternative media, is to always archive and make copies of everything you're referencing and reading and seeing. I don't think I've ever gotten over the idea of treating the internet
as I did back in the Napster days when that happened, and we used the school computers down in the radio station to download all kinds of music overnight, and we didn't know how long it was going to last. One other related bit of West Virginia worry from Lincoln Journal. Rockefeller and Mansion expenses published. That would be John D. Rockefeller IV, J. Rockefeller, and of course the new Senator Joe Manchin. From West Virginia, and we will, of course, then move to Virginia in just a little bit. But we also want to go down and not spend a ton of time on this because, again, this was exclusively what we covered on the Bob Tuscan Show. ProjectCensored.org and the hidden news of 2011. They're the headlines you don't see, the words that don't make the page, but if they did, these stories would cause quite a stir. Project Censored is a United States media research group, and they've released their 2012 list of the top 25 censored stories of the past year. Number one on the list is the startling revelation that more U.S. soldiers commit suicide than die in combat. And I'll go ahead and read into the record the list of the top 25 censored stories of the past year. As we said, number one, more U.S. soldiers commit suicide than died in combat. U.S. military manipulates the social media. Obama authorizes international assassination campaign. Global food crisis expands. Private prison companies fund anti-immigrant legislation. Google spying? U.S. Army and psychology's largest experiment ever. The fairy tale of clean and safe nuclear power. Government-sponsored technologies for weather modification. The real unemployment rate, 1 out of 5 in the U.S. The trafficking of Iraqi women rampant, the Pacific garbage dump, will a state of emergency be used to supersede our Constitution, family pressure on young girls for genitalia mutilation continues in Kenya, big polluters freed from environmental oversight, sweatshops in China are making your iPods while workers suffer, superbug bacteria spreading worldwide, Monsanto tries to benefit from Haiti's earthquake, Oxfam exposes how aid is used for political purposes, U.S. agencies trying to outlaw GMO food labeling, Lyme disease an emerging epidemic, participatory budgeting, a method to empower local citizens and communities, the one positive on the list, worldwide movement to ban or charge fees for plastic bags, South Dakota takes extreme measures to be the top anti-abortion state, and number 25 on the list of ProjectCensored.org's top 25 censored stories of the past year, the extension of depleted uranium to Libya. Now, the note I have at the bottom of this posting still that I've not removed or fixed said we'd attempt to add flashback links to all of these stories that we've covered in the past year on Media Monarchy or within the kingdom. That seems, at this point, a Herculean task, and we may have to leave that aside. However, I would note a good year-end wrap-up should be coming, as well, best of the year mixtape, and all of those other things as we put an end to the amazing 2011 very soon in the coming weeks, my friend and friends and all of you. A quick blast through media, memes, film, future, deliverance, drift away. An article that caught my eye in the New York Times. Around the world in one movie. Film financing's global future. There's a film called Cloud Atlas, and it goes into how its funding and its creation, both financially and creatively, have gone all around the world through filmmakers and actors and writers and producers all around the world. Peter Jackson and Damian Eccles complete new West Memphis 3 documentary. More on that from technical.net, and I did just get the original Paradise Lost in the mail, snail mail style, from the old beleaguered Netflix. And I'm not sure this must be a standalone thing because I believe the Berlinger and Sanofsky, the makers of the Paradise Lost trilogy, have a third one. So there will probably be so many competing projects swirling around the West Memphis 3. Johnny Greenwood of Radiohead has been making a lot more film scores than I was aware of. I only knew about Body Song and There Will Be Blood, but apparently there are others. He is also going to score the upcoming Paul Thomas Anderson Scientology movie called The Master. Paul Thomas Anderson, the director, of course, of Boogie Nights and There Will Be Blood. Alan Moore contributes to an Occupy comics anthology, and Bill McKinney, a character actor and best known as the Mountain Man in Deliverance, dies at the age of 80, and any time Deliverance is brought up as a good West Virginian, I know and always have to dispel the Deliverance is set in Georgia. So anybody tries to bust out the banjo move on being from West Virginia. Actor Harry Morgan of Dragnet and MASH fame dies at the age of 96, but of course, I know him from The Simpsons.
At any rate, the FBI will track down this mystery woman and put her behind bars.
Alan Sues, laugh-in regular as Uncle Al, dies at the age of 85. Blues legend Hubert Sumlin dies at the age of 80. Roy Orbison's wife dies exactly 23 years after Roy Orbison's death. And soul singer Dobie Gray of The In Crowd and Drift Away dies at the age of 71. We are going to dive into our 12-8 news purge. I'm in with The Out Crowd, but we'll start it with Dobie Gray and The In Crowd.
Yeah.
out crowd, the Jesus and Mary Chain. Yes, that noise is the one and only Jesus and Mary Chain. That filthy little number was the B-side to Come On, their single from Stone into Throne from 1994. But before that was the late, great Dobie Gray and his song, The In Crowd. I've always loved that track. We're continuing this episode 242 of MediaMonarchy.com with the 12-8 News Purge, named for the track we just heard, I'm In With The Out Crowd, and we will begin with our BioWars EnviroHealth updates.
About 45 tons of radioactive water has reportedly leaked out of the Fukushima nuclear plant in Japan that was badly damaged in March's earthquake and tsunami. Some of the toxic water may have found its way into the ocean during the weekend. Let's try and put this in perspective now and talk to David Wagner from Country Risk Solutions in Tokyo. Thank you for joining us here on RT, Mr. Wagner. Now, what are the potential dangers of this latest leak, if it's confirmed?
Well, the leak itself is rather small compared to what's gone into the ocean previously, particularly in the March time period, where 80% of all of the radiation that leaked went into the ocean. So this is quite small. And the problem is it has high levels of strontium. Most of the cesium was taken out of the water through the cleansing process that's taking on right now.
We've also heard reports, though, of radioactive substances being found in local food in recent weeks. How serious is that?
Well, it remains to be seen how serious it is. What's clear is that the testing process is not across the board systemic. Less than 1% of all food in Japan is being tested right now, and it's only being tested for cesium-134 and 137. So there are many other types of radionuclides that are not being tested for at all, including strontium and plutonium. Those are very dangerous radionuclides. Once they get into the food and are absorbed through food, can go into the bone and cause cancer.
On a more technical side, there's less than a month left until a planned shutdown of the power plant, but we're still hearing reports of such leaks. How do the plant's officials expect to complete the work on schedule?
Well, they have a plan. It's been on schedule according to their plan since they began, and they are targeting December 16th for, you know, bringing the reactors to a state where they call it under control. That remains to be seen. But it is clear that they feel they've got it under control. There is always the threat still. Sorry, we just turned yellow. We're not radioactive. There is always the threat still that there could be another earthquake, and that's something most people are not talking about. It's possible.
Well, let's hope you're not radioactive. How much is this this long-lasting aftermath weighing on the pros and cons of countries pursuing nuclear energy? Some seem more anxious than others.
I would think that's true. Here in Japan, well over 80% of the reactors are offline right now. And it's been quite interesting because throughout the summer, when there was sort of self-restraint of electricity usage, Japan's economy grew. So it tells me that there was an excess of electricity available, and that actually the country is doing okay right now without it. So long term, I don't think industries are very happy about it. Manufacturing is gradually moving overseas. And it's a problem for Japan long term, how they're going to replace this type of energy as the country grows. But there's another issue to add to the list of concerns as a result of the March 11th earthquake and tsunami.
Okay, David Wagner, Director of Crisis Communications at Country Risk Solutions. Thank you for joining us here at RT.
45-ton radioactive leak reaches the ocean. Fuel rod materials may have been released into the ground. Those coming from my two indispensable sources on the ongoing nuclear crisis in Japan, FukushimaUpdate.com and ENENews.com. But continuing our other BioWars EnviroHealth updates, irradiated baby food spotlights ongoing woes for Japan's food, and we'll touch that again in Food World Order. Questions swirl around $6 billion New Mexico nuclear lab. EPA says fracking may cause groundwater pollution. FDA decision on teens morning after pill blocked. That's from CBS. Climate conference close to deal on green fund. That's from Reuters. And finally, from the New York Times, 2010 carbon dioxide output shows biggest jump ever. And the sun says, you ain't seen nothing yet. Our drug war updates. U.S. drug agents launder profits of Mexican cartels. Just when you think you've heard it all, Undercover American narcotics agents have laundered or smuggled millions of dollars in drug proceeds as part of Washington's expanding role in Mexico's fight against drug cartels. The agents, primarily with the DEA, have handled shipments of hundreds of thousands of dollars in illegal cash across borders to identify how criminal organizations move their money, where they keep their assets, and most important, who their leaders are. They said agents had deposited the drug proceeds in accounts designated by traffickers or in shell accounts set up by agents. This is how the drug war works. Meanwhile, Holder says Fast and Furious guns will be used in crimes for years to come, and that reminds us of the rumor mill, Eric Holder, to resign today, December 9th, citing Fast and Furious as the reason. And a flashback to only last month, where Representative Dianne Feinstein uses the Fast and Furious scandal to make the case for national gun registration. And if you haven't been paying attention, Fast and Furious is the one most recently exposed operation of the DEA and the ATF running guns on purpose, letting them go to Mexican drug cartels. And now we see that they are laundering the money and putting it into shell accounts. So ActivistPost.com sums it up pretty well with 10 ways the war on drugs is a wild success. That's military-industrial profits, huge boon to private prisons, prevents higher unemployment rates, suppresses minority populations, drives up prices, drug violence justifies tough gun laws, protects the big pharma monopolies, allows proxy armies, keeps big banks flush with cash, and of course, funds intelligence black operations worldwide, and of course, as well, home in this burgeoning North American Union. Now, like our man Bill Hicks would say, one positive drug story checks decriminalize peyote and magic mushroom growing. And that's on stopthedrugwar.org. Our Econo Crash updates, USPS to make first class delivery cuts could affect Netflix and Gamefly. Corzine simply doesn't know where the MF money is. And with the story again that we have doubled over in Food World Order, this got a bit of coverage out of Texas. Mom shoots self and kids after being denied welfare. And we look abroad to the geopolitical scene, the grand chessboard, if you will, with anti-vote fraud protest in Russia over rigged polls and the amount of amazing propaganda going on. Saudi prince calls for the kingdom to acquire weapons of mass destruction. Meanwhile, the Israeli Defense Forces hold emergency drills in the north and south. War games spotlight Pakistan-China friendship. And an interesting one, again, that I saw in print in the New York Times, in sports car pileup, a spotlight on Japan's rich. Traffic accident wrecks a dozen luxury cars in Japan. A botched lane change led to a spectacular traffic pileup in Japan that left a highway strewn with the smashed wreckage of 8 Ferraris, a Lamborghini, and 3 Mercedes sports cars. The crash drew international attention not only for its stunning price, more than $1 million, but also for the rare glimpse of Japan's super rich, who tend to avoid ostentatious public displays of wealth. Our final geopolitical note, Iran shows off captured U.S. drone, swears it's no fake. That's the way that Danger Room puts it, as we always note that Wired blog never met a U.S. military op it didn't like. We'll have more on this Iran CIA drone story coming very soon on cyberspacewar.com. As always, a huge thanks to Alan in Omaha, giving me so much help in the media monarchy kingdom. But let's continue down the news purge. Couple of history mystery notes. Of course, yes, December 7th, a date which will live in infamy. Pearl Harbor veterans observed the 70th anniversary of the attack, catalyzing catastrophic event, if you will. World War II bombs defused after 45,000 evacuated in German city. More on that from the French agency press. And celebrating the Titanic by digging in and going to see it at 100. All of those things, covert operations within history, within the alternative history that don't get discussed in our corrupt on purpose schools. Sometimes the so-called elites have to crash in convenient ways. But we reach our murder and mayhem coverage, and as we returned to the scene of Virginia Tech yesterday, December 8th, the anniversary of the assassination of John Lennon, I had sitting in my bookmarks updates on the original Virginia Tech massacre in 2007. Of course, right around the Ides of April, the 420 date, with 33 dead, all the hallmarks of a psychological operation. We had updates on the original massacre, and they were in my bookmarks. I just didn't tweet about them. I hadn't yet. So we'll go over what was going on Wednesday with Virginia Tech into what transpired yesterday, and we will get the latest for you as we come to you right now on our murder and mayhem updates. Virginia Tech appeals fines for response to deadly shootings as the Obama administration presses colleges on crime reporting. Virginia Tech faces sanctions over 2007 shooting response.
3 years after the tragic shooting at Virginia Tech that left 32 students and faculty dead and dozens more injured, the U.S. Department of Education has decided the university broke federal law while handling that incident. On April 16, 2007, as news of the shooting spread across the globe, people were already asking questions about the university's response to those shootings, or the lack thereof.
The critical question tonight is, why did it take 2 hours to notify students there was a shooting on campus?
Students want to know why all classes weren't canceled immediately and the campus locked down.
The information we had on the first incident led us to make the decision that it was an isolated event to that building, and decisions made not to cancel classes at that time.
And soon it wasn't just students and journalists looking for some answers. The U.S. Department of Education investigated and eventually decided the school's actions were in violation of the Federal Clery Act, which requires colleges and universities to report information about crime on campus. CBS's Katie Kirk explains.
The final report says the school violated federal law by not alerting students in a timely fashion, suggesting dozens of lives could have been saved. The first email didn't go out until 2 hours after Sung-Hui Cho killed two students in a dorm. By then, he was already chaining the doors to a building where he then killed 30 more students and faculty, and then himself in the worst mass shooting in U.S. history.
The university's main defense is there was no clear definition of timely in that 2007 act, and a representative says that problem hasn't been resolved.
We're concerned that it doesn't provide any guidance either to us or to the rest of the higher education community, that you could be found liable regardless of how long or how little time elapses for you to make a notice to your university community.
Finally, in the Roanoke Times, the mother of a student wounded in the shootings gives her take. I think it's just further proof of what the families have said all along. We are not trying to malign the university, but the families, I think, understandably, can't help but speculate what would have happened, could have happened, if notification had been swifter. The Department of Education hasn't handed down a sanction just yet, but Virginia Tech now stands to lose as much as $98 million in federal funding and faces a $55,000 fine. The university has already paid out an $11 million settlement to the victims' families and now faces another $10 million lawsuit.
That was the coverage Wednesday on the original Virginia Tech massacre. And then yesterday, authorities hunt suspect after gunshots fired on campus. Shootings occur soon after hearings end connected to 2007 massacre. And then the updates. Virginia Tech shooter kills one, commits suicide. As the story originally was, they were searching. We're looking everywhere for him, was the quote. And now the latest seems to be not a student, unconnected, a lone gunman, if you will. Change clothes after shooting Derek Krause, the slain officer. So let's get the update on the return to Virginia Tech.
Do not leave this room until you're told, you understand?
Yes, sir.
Tension on the campus of Virginia Tech Thursday. This video taken by a student shows armed police enforcing a lockdown. That's after authorities say a police officer was shot and killed during a routine traffic stop.
An officer observed a suspicious subject in the I lot off of Duck Pond Road. And upon returning to that area to make contact with the subject, found them deceased of a gunshot wound.
Officials say the gunman was not in the car that was pulled over. Instead, they say he appears to have walked into a parking lot and shot the officer. He was spotted about a quarter mile away, wounded. He died a short time later.
The weapon has been recovered. I'm not going to discuss what type of caliber that weapon is at this time. This is currently under investigation still.
Officials quickly locked down the campus for several hours. They used a high-tech alert system to warn students and faculty members to stay indoors. There are some of the lessons learned from nearly 5 years ago. That's when the campus suffered the deadliest shooting rampage in U.S. history. 33 people were killed by a lone gunman. So far, police are staying quiet on a possible motive for Thursday's shooting.
And as we glance again, 55 minutes ago from the Washington Post, motive still unknown. Gunman not a student. Same gun used in both killings. And we'll just make the tongue-in-cheek remark that he didn't want to mention the caliber of the weapons, because, you know, sometimes you say you've got a Mauser and, you know, then it turns out to be a Carcano. But our last couple of murder and mayhem notes. Five killed in a tour helicopter crash near Lake Mead, Las Vegas, as again we've seen a wave of tourist helicopter small plane crashes in the last few weeks. And the last note on murder and mayhem on this 12-8 News Purge, I'm in with the out crowd. This is one I haven't heard a damn bit about. FAA chief resigns after drunk driving arrest.
Randy Babbitt, the top man at the FAA, has resigned following his arrest on drunk driving charges. According to police, Babbitt was pulled over Saturday night after a patrol officer in Northern Virginia spotted him driving on the wrong side of the road. Police have not released the results of his blood alcohol test, but the legal limit in Virginia is .08. In a statement, the 65-year-old said he had submitted his resignation to Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood and that it had been accepted.
It's a terrible thing, I think, that you're doing something that's putting the lives of innocent people in danger, and I really, it's hard for me to have a lot of sympathy for something like that.
Republican lawmaker John Micah, who heads a key committee on Capitol Hill, said Babbitt's departure creates a serious setback, leaving the FAA in limbo at a critical time for the agency. Some worry that Babbitt's sudden departure could halt or delay some major initiatives at the FAA, including new regulations to combat pilot fatigue.
It's a hoot. Our Obamasiya updates. Obama taking 17-day vacation as America falls apart. Update. Obama vacation likely to be delayed. More on that from USA Today and the Economic Collapse blog. Meanwhile, dig this little nugget from the Prince of Peace Prize.
Republican candidates have taken aim at your approach to foreign policy, particularly the Middle East and Israel, and accused you of appeasement. I wanted to get your reaction to that.
Ask Osama bin Laden and the 22 out of 30 top al-Qaeda leaders who've been taken off the field whether I engage in appeasement.
Bam! I'm just as bloodthirsty as that other dude. Except I get results. And I can still use, you know, sports analogies, because it's, you know, it's all a big game. It's all funny. It's all about land acquisition. Jocko Ramos, save our souls. Meanwhile, in the Obamasiya world, Rod Blagojevich gets 14 years in prison. Why was that? Oh, that's right. In Chicagoland, he was trying to sell Barry Satoro's Senate seat, and it's connected to Resco and Ouchie and all of that garbage. Campaigns bring ad war to TV. That's the New York Times article that I've already referenced a dozen times. They use the screen grab that says Ron Paul has been. Because it's, you know, down to the top two, number one and number three. And it's down to that because, surprise, surprise, Herman Cain suspends his campaign in the face of scandal.
I came here to declare my candidacy for the Republican nomination.
Herman Cain was an unconventional candidate from the start. He never held political office. His only other attempt at politics was the 1994 Senate race in Georgia. Cain ran and lost in the Republican primary. Prior to politics, Cain spent a decade as CEO of Godfather Pizza, helping to turn the company around. He later led the National Restaurant Association. More recently, he hosted the Herman Cain Show on Atlanta radio. In those 3 years, Cain often spoke of the Tea Party principles that helped propel him into the presidential race.
We must grow this economy, number one.
Debate performances helped send him to the front of the pack. By late October, he was leading the polls. But a series of missteps threw Cain off track. In early November, reports broke that Cain's former employer had settled sexual abuse allegation cases against him. Then another woman appeared before cameras.
And he put his hand on my leg, under my skirt, and reached for my genitals.
Cain responded a day later.
I chose to address these accusations directly.
Then came questions about whether Cain was prepared to be president.
Okay, Libya.
During an appearance at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Cain struggled to answer an important foreign policy question. By late November, a new allegation that the married Cain had a 13-year affair.
I can't imagine him actually confirming.
A day later, there were reports that he was reassessing his candidacy, a reassessment that eventually led him to call off his run for the highest office in the land.
Meanwhile, the ignoring of Ron Paul continues. Continuing the 12-8 News Purge, we reach our Oregon oddities. We discuss all the rampant murder and mayhem and insanity in all of the other states and all of the other nation states and city states around the world. But we know how to do things right here in Portland as well. New York DJ John Tubin in critical condition after a cab crashes into his room at the Jupiter Hotel at the Doug Fir. Gang shooting leaves 17-year-old wounded in southeast Portland. Police look into gang shooting in northeast Portland. And we wonder why there is a spike in gang, quote-unquote, related violence in Portland. Our police state updates. U.S. government asserts more power than Hitler and Stalin. That's on blacklistednews.com. Illegal border crossing arrests at the lowest level in 40 years. Now, is that because less people are trying, or is that just because you're arresting less people? I think ultimately it's because our economy has been destroyed, and there's no reason to want to sneak over here anymore because everything's been shipped overseas by design, by multinational corporations of interlocking families of multi-generational serial killers. Suit filed after New Mexico teen cuffed for burping in class. And the Supreme Court to hear the case on the arrest of Cheney critic. And finally, our couple of war whores notes. Could playing video games be a war crime? Again from Danger Room, but I first heard it from my friend Casey at work telling me the Red Cross was trying to get war crimes added into video games. More military dogs show signs of combat stress. Yeah, that's right. We don't even just abuse and destroy our own brothers and sisters, but we do it to the lessers around us as well. So whatever kind of creator god you may believe in, that goes against what it's about. And finally, I'll spare you a poor Robin Williams impersonation of Good Morning Afghanistan. Military wants Kandahar radio. Again, from Danger Room, and again, wrapping up another massive news purge. I'm in with the out crowd, and you are listening, my friends, to episode 242 of MediaMonarchy.com. We have all the other sites in the Media Monarchy Kingdom. Food World Order, Holy Hexes, and we are going to get into the Voyagers and the sexting and the triple Xing on cyberspace war, but let's get a Voyager reprise first from Surfer Blood.
to feel sorry. I can't wrap my head around you. Some of the devil walls around you. I can't go now, cause I don't know.
A new Earth-like planet, not cool enough for you. NASA says there could be some others out there. Chad, I'm excited. This is just really, this is so fascinating. There could be other planets like ours,
yes.
Life elsewhere. What are they talking about?
They have used this Kepler telescope, which is out in space. It's up there. It's like a satellite. And it's shooting. So it doesn't have to worry about all the pollution that a ground-based telescope is looking through, right? So it's out there looking through clean air. And 600 light years away, it found a star. And around this star, it found a planet. 2.5 times bigger than the Earth, but right in the Goldilocks area. You know what that means?
Nope.
Not too hot, not too cold, just right.
Okay.
So if it's too cold, like out in Neptune, it would be too cold to have water, liquid water. To like Mercury and Venus, it would be too warm because it would just kind of be, it would be steam. But somewhere in the middle, they found this beautiful planet, and they gave it a great name, Kepler-22b. So whatever. So here's what we know. We have our sun, and we have this blue line. That's our Earth's rotation, our orbit around our sun. The sun that they found up here, Kepler-22 system, slightly smaller than our sun, slightly cooler than our sun, but the same type of class, the same type of sun. And then they found this planet rotating around it almost the exact same distance away. In fact, we take 365 days to go around, or at least approximately. This planet takes 290 days to go around. So it's almost in the exact perfect spot. They have 54 more planets that they have to look at as well, that they all find, they have found them in this habitable zone. Beautiful thing. 600 light years away. That means that even the light we're seeing from it right now is 600 years old, but they can estimate that the temperature on this planet is 72 degrees. Now, that to me sounds like San Diego. And if that's, if I can get there, I love San Diego. You know, you don't have to worry about it snowing there. Orbits the sun like star every 290 days. And this is the first. This is the big announcement yesterday. This is the first of many, many more announcements that NASA will have. We are going to have hundreds, if not thousands, of these Earth-like planets now that we have Kepler up and running like it is right
Chad,
now.
You know the question is going to be like, how do I get there? And when can I go? But that's like way days away, right? That's a long, long time.
I'm afraid it would take a long time to get 600 light years at, 22,000 miles an hour?
That's a bummer. Yeah. Sounds like a nice place, though. Yeah. All right.
New planet, an Earth-like world, 600 light years away. We're now into hour number two of episode 242 from MediaMonarchy.com, December 9th, 2011. My name is James Evan Pilato, your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com. But right now, we're blasting off into all the other sister sites in the Media Monarchy kingdom, and we're starting at the top of CyberspaceWar.com, Kepler, Voyager, Zynga, and more. And that piece with more from ABC News on Kepler-22b, as the disclosure continues, new planet eerily like Earth. But before that clip, we heard some of the latest music from Florida's Surfer Blood. I dig their music. I've seen them twice the last few times they've come to Portland. Great guys, young guys, probably amazing music ahead of them. Their new EP, Tarot Classics, is out. And that track, Voyager Reprise, comes from there. And the record came out a couple of months ago, and I hadn't played any new tracks. That's what I love doing Media Monarchy, because it ultimately writes itself. NASA spacecraft exploring solar system's edge 3 days ago, more than three decades after launching, NASA's workhorse spacecraft is inching closer to leaving the solar system behind. Currently 11 billion miles away from the sun, Voyager 1 has been exploring the fringes of the solar system since 2004. Scientists said Monday the spacecraft has entered a new region in the solar system that they have dubbed the stagnation zone. Voyager 1 still has a little way to go before it completely exits the solar system and becomes the first man-made probe to cross into interstellar space, or the vast space between stars. And we took our opening quote from Voyager Reprise, from Surfer Blood, making a soundtrack for another planet to hear. Another note on Iran showing intact drone boasting of the cyber attack that brought it down. That story bringing again the cyberspace war, the geopolitical grand chessboard all together, as we will see more of that very soon. House cyber panel chair says, yeah, let's put Homeland Security in charge of cybersecurity. And on Facebook, NYPD officers maligned West Indian parade goers, calling them animals, saying a bomb should be dropped and wiping them out. Unfortunately, it's not a surprise that policy enforcement officers would talk that way. It's just a surprise they'd be stupid enough to do it on their public Facebook page. CNET reports Oregon judge rules bloggers aren't journalists. And our final note on the 12-8 DEF CON on cyberspacewar.com, Kepler Voyager, it's Zynga.
Zynga is trending after the online gaming company filed documents to set their initial public offering at $8.50 to $10 a share, potentially valuing the company at $7 billion. Zynga, the company behind Farmville, Mafia Wars, and Cityville, is set to sell 100 million shares, or 14.3% of its total, a figure higher than other recent IPOs like LinkedIn and Groupon. Zynga has taken some PR hits recently, with players dropping off and an article in the New York Times portraying Zynga as a stressed-out, unhappy workplace.
But let's not forget Words with Friends. But we don't have time to log into that, because it's .XXX Unleashed Internet Porn Domain goes live. From News24.com, a new .XXX domain suffix for adult content sites went live this past Tuesday in a move which supporters say will help web surfers easily identify porno sites. All sites using that suffix will also be monitored to ensure they do not contain hidden computer viruses commonly found on millions of sex sites. Opponents of the new system, including anti-porn and religious groups, say the move condones smut, encourages the viewing of porn, and makes it easier for kids to find. Some X-rated entrepreneurs also oppose the move on the grounds that it may eventually force all sexually explicit sites to use the .XXX suffix. Currently, porn sites are free to keep their current suffixes even if they have a .XXX site. About 100,000 porn sites have already registered for addresses on the new top-level domain, according to ICANN, the nonprofit organization which oversees the organization of the Internet. ICM Registry, which is managing the debut for ICANN, said it was the most successful launch of any new sponsored top-level domain. .XXX Unleashed. So while we're having a moral panic about that, we'll give an update on one of our other recent moral panics. And where we note, the new U.S. study shows teen sexting scare overblown.
Researchers say sexting may not be as common among U.S. teenagers as once thought. Sexting is when teens take sexually explicit photos and send them to friends through their cell phones or the internet. The new survey of more than 1,500 kids shows just 10% of teenagers and tweens admitted to sending or receiving sexually suggestive photos. That's just half of what a widely cited 2008 study reported. And the new survey found just 1% of teenagers actually sent a nude or partially nude photo to someone else.
Won't somebody please think of the children? The results of that study were published in the U.S. Medical Journal Pediatrics, and we provide the PDF link for you. Always trying to take that extra step to provide the documentation and the sources to everything that we're covering, whether it's a song or a study. And we know that sexting is over anyway. It's all about Johanssoning. But let's blast through all our other cyberspace war updates. Cloaked spaceship near Mercury. The Stereo spacecraft captured imagery of Mercury on December 1st and what appears to be a large object nearby as a coronal mass ejection washes over the planet. More on the science page from MSNBC as well. You can watch it yourself on YouTube. Hollow Earth theory in the 21st century, 3D, HD. The Hollow Earth theory's fallen into back recesses of the mind, save for a few folks like Dr. Brooks Agnew, attempting to organize a Hollow Earth expedition back in 2007 when the previous organizer passed away. That expedition has failed to materialize as of this date. Rodney M. Clough, author of the book World Top Secret, Our Earth is Hollow, fascinated in theory since his teens, is also a part of the expedition. And you can hear Dean Dominic De Lucia, written a book, Hollow Earth, and was recently interviewed on RedIceCreations.com. The latest in the Ancient Aliens series, Aliens and the Third Reich, General Hans Kammler, Die Glock, The Hing, The Wunderwaffe, and The Vril. Finally, on cyberspacewar.com, a sun scare. Scientists worry more than solar minimum at hand. Is it only fear-mongering over the new observations made in an article on beforeitsnews.com? Shocked scientists ask, is the sun dying? Those things and so much more on cyberspacewar.com. I just kind of have to briefly blast over them, because it's tough to get into any one area, especially when it's areas such as outer space and quantum physics and all of those sorts of things. I need a little help myself. So again, a huge thanks to Alan in Omaha for all his hard work on not only Cyberspace War, but also Holy Hexes, which we're going to get to right now. And as long as we're thanking Alan, that segues well into thanking our good friend Zach Bossart, who you may remember from episode 200 at the very beginning of this year. He's written a new article, and it's called The Devil's 11. And it is a massive one. So the easiest way for me to just kind of summarize this is to just read his heads up to me a few weeks ago about the crafting and drafting of this amazing piece called The Devil's 11. Getting into the analysis of November 11th, 2011, 11-11-11, being a possible catalyst for the week of violence that erupted across the globe, theorizing that Rex Church, that would be Diabolus Rex, may be linked to a violent shockwave that emanated from southern Washington when he was testing his Ragnarok engine on 11-11-11. After his test, the violence police action started slowly in Portland when Mayor Sam Adams announced his deadline. Then we saw out of Seattle and Oakland the next day, followed by Denver and Dallas after that, culminating in the events of New York. A slow-moving ripple effect, like with water, slowly made its way across the globe, and like water, the ripples continue after the initial spread and repeat, spreading to other parts of the globe on the grand chessboard. The Devil's 11, an opinion analysis by Zach Bossart on 11-11-11 being a possible catalyst for the week of violence that erupted across the globe. You may recall hearing Rex Church on Clyde Lewis at the old Ground Zero Lounge shows at Dante's. But now we've made it to holyhexes.com, and we'll blast through all the other unbelievable things going on, as we say on Cyberspace, where inner space and outer space. And in Holy Hexes, it's both within and without, as we look at the occult, as we look at religion in society, as we look at North Miami Beach Police Department fires two in an alleged Santeria plot.
On just one station this morning, seeds of suspicion in one South Florida city, and two employees have now lost their jobs, an officer and office manager getting the axe.
They're both accused of trying to cast a spell to get rid of another city worker. Seven's Alexis Rivera has the exclusive from North Miami Beach.
The weapon, bird seeds. The target, this man, North Miami Beach City Manager Lyndon Bonner.
I take your soul.
It seems like something out of a sci-fi movie, but it is very real. Santeria, an Afro-Cuban religion. Sources telling 7 News the bird seeds were to be used as part of a religious ritual, a type of hex. A North Miami Beach police officer and Chief Larry Gomer's secretary now fired, allegedly behind this, trying to cast a spell on the city manager, making him fly out of City Hall. Why the pair wanted him out, still unclear.
Ultimately, the city manager really doesn't have anything to worry about, because in Santeria, you can't just spread bird seed and make the supernatural do what you want it to do.
Sources telling 7 News the two female employees tried to convince a janitor to help, asking him to spread the seeds in the city manager's office. The seeds, or other natural substances, are believed to possibly create negative energy when scattered, but the janitor refused and reported it to police.
Unfortunately, when individuals dabble in the religion, like spread bird seed on the ground, they really perpetuate the negative stereotype that Santeria is all about spells and witchcraft. And they think they can do these things to intimidate folks.
Well, the city telling us these two employees do have the right to appeal their termination, and so they do not find it appropriate to comment at this time.
Now, of course, say it with me. I don't practice Santeria. I ain't got no crystal ball. Across the pond on Holy Hexes, workmen make bewitching discovery in UK countryside cottage. Water engineers have unearthed what could prove to be one of the most infamous sites in England's history of witches and warlocks. United Utilities workers were stunned to discover a 17th century witches-style cottage with a mummified cat sealed into the walls during a routine construction project in Pendle, Lancashire. The spellbinding find occurred near Lower Black Moss Reservoir in the village of Barley, which nestles in the shadow of Pendle Hill, the UK's premier witching spot. Speculation is already rife among local historians that the building could be the lost Malkin Tower, the site of a notorious meeting of the Pendle witches on Good Friday, 1612. Archaeologists brought in by the Northwest Water Firm survey the area found a remarkably well-preserved building from the 1600s hidden beneath a grass mound. The building contained a sealed room with a mummified cat bricked into the wall. It's believed the cat was buried alive to protect the cottage's inhabitants from evil spirits. Carl Sanders, United Utilities project manager, says, quote, "It's not often you come across a fairy tale college complete with a witch's cat. The building is in remarkable condition. You can walk through it and get a real sense that you're peering into the past. In terms of significance, it's like discovering Tutankhamun's tomb. We're just a few months away from the 400th anniversary of the Pendle witch trials, and here we have an incredibly rare find right in the heart of witching country." More from Sky News and the Associated Fox News, but you can go to pendlewitches.co.uk, but we also provide the Wikipedia links for more on this story from the UK Press, Witches Coven site thought found in British ruins. But back to the North American Union, where, again, no one place being outdone by another in the realms of murder and mayhem. Ashes of the nameless and unclaimed buried in a Los Angeles ritual. Ashes of 1,639 people buried in a common grave ceremony in the City of Angels.
On a sunny, cool morning, clergy members arrived at L.A. County Crematory and Cemetery to repeat a sad ritual, perform a funeral service for hundreds of people who died in recent years and who would not have otherwise had a proper burial. Chaplain Chris Panette led the ceremony.
We today honor them in this moment of stillness, in this wonderful, beautiful space and day, with sunlight above us and the gracious earth below us.
There were yellow, white, and red flowers atop the dirt. Small plaques displayed the names of some of the dead who had been identified, but whose families never surfaced. In some cases, loved ones couldn't afford to bury those who died. Panette, who directs the spiritual care department at L.A. County USC Medical Center, says backgrounds of the deceased are unimportant at this time.
Whatever that life was, we honor them, and we trust that they are in God's embrace. We try to make the service interfaith so that we try to honor both a person of non-faith or of various faith.
Officials say when bodies are taken to the coroner's office, staffers keep the remains in the freezers for a certain number of weeks. The bodies are cremated and the ashes placed in storage for up to several years. If no one claims the remains, they're placed in a common grave. Some members of the nonprofit LA Catholic Worker Organization paid their respects, such as Theodore Kaiser. He said the group helped homeless people in downtown L.A.'s Skid Row. Kaiser wonders how many of them are among the 1,639 people remembered here today.
It could have been somebody we've met before. It could have been somebody we knew. It's just the right thing to do to make sure that people get a proper final rest.
L.A. County has conducted mass burial since 1896. Officials perform a ceremony every December. They say as the economy has worsened in recent years, the number of individuals buried here has gone up. Corey Moore, 89.3 KPCC.
We gather in this sacred space.
It is a gathering that occurs once a year in L.A. County's Crematorium Cemetery in Boyle Heights. This day to bury the remains of 1,639 persons who died out of touch with their families.
Their stories need to be honored.
Father Chris Ponette is director of spiritual care at County USC Medical Center, where many of the individuals being buried had lived their final hours.
On behalf of the entire community, we bid our fond farewell.
These are the faceless, nameless people that probably you see all the time with their shopping carts and their bags of whatever there is in those black bags who end up in our emergency rooms.
Among those attending, Jeff Dietrich, who runs a Skid Row soup kitchen for Catholic Worker.
Quite frankly, I would say many of the people who eat at our soup kitchen are the living unclaimed. They're people who already, even though they're alive, have but minimal to no connections with family, relationships, friends, jobs, etc.
In a building nearby await the cremation urns of hundreds more who died disconnected. The county waits 3 years for family to come forward.
There will always be people who either they themselves or circumstances choose to and are disconnected and are not reconnectable to the family. But they are part of our society and they are fellow human beings.
From bewitching burials in the City of Angels to the heart of the intelligence community and the related update posted below this story, Air Force dumped ashes of more troops' remains in Virginia landfill than previously acknowledged. And you can get more on that from our Twitter feed at Media Monarchy. Continuing on HolyHexes.com, we return to the film Metropolis and the occult symbolism contained in the 1927 silent film Metropolis, more than science fiction. VigilantCitizen.com notes the occult symbols in the movie and its influence on pop culture in the article, The Occult Symbolism of Metropolis and Its Importance in Pop Culture. VC sees clearly Metropolis is increasingly relevant as many of its predictions are becoming reality. A silent science fiction movie released in 1927 by Fritz Lang, a master of German expressionism. Set in a futuristic dystopia divided into two distinct and separate classes, the thinkers and the workers, Metropolis describes the struggle between the two opposite entities. Knowing that it was produced in 1927, viewing this film today is quite an experience as many sci-fi aspects of the plot are eerily close to reality. So from the occult symbolism hidden in some of the greatest works of art in the genre of film, to the occult workings being exposed in this very present day, and it's blasted on CNN screens in airports, and it's on the background of making dinner in the kitchen, but the real ramifications and connections and how deep this really goes, people are putting out of their mind. They're only thinking about the sports. Sandusky cuffed on new sex abuse charges.
Once again, our breaking news, Jerry Sandusky was arrested at his home today as part of that ongoing grand jury investigation as two more victims, victim 9 and 10. have been part of the grand jury testimony. Let's welcome in Roger Cossack for more on the new charges. Roger, why these new charges today?
Well, what's happened is, of course, that they have uncovered more victims, victims 9 and victims 10, took them before the grand jury and just received an indictment from the grand jury for these two new victims. This probably will not be the subject of the preliminary hearing next week because Sandusky does have the right to be arraigned on these two new charges. But what it does mean, it means almost for sure that the bail will be reviewed that he's out on right now and that there may be new bail and a much higher bail for him to stay free.
Yeah, so take us through the process. He's taken from his home today in handcuffs. What happens next?
Well, he is taken down to the police station and re-fingerprinted and another mugshot is taken just as a traditional process. He will then be taken in front of a judge at some time and within a short period of time and the charges will be read against him and then the issue of bail will come up. And there may be, as I said, there may be to revisit this now that there's additional charges and there's also been a feeling that the original bail was too low. I would think that some judge is going to revisit the bail and Sandusky probably will have to put up more bail.
We're up to 10 victims now. Is there a chance where you don't let someone like this out on bail? Could he be a danger to the public?
Well, that's going to be the argument that that he is a danger to the public. But, it's a hard argument to make, particularly now when he's, out into the limelight and everybody's watching him. He probably is in the past. Again, I want to just say that he's presumed, as in all cases, presumed innocent until proven guilty. But whatever he may have done, the chances are he's not doing it now. So that's going to be a tough argument to make. And it may be an argument that he may be a risk, a flight risk. Because he is facing a great deal of time, and that's also something that the prosecution can bring up.
And perhaps a great deal of stress as well. So in the end, what does today mean, Roger, to the overall case for Jerry Sandusky and his lawyer?
Well, it makes it more obviously more difficult because it's clear that two more victims have come out of the woodwork and come forward and said what happened. And apparently, from what we understand, their story is quite similar to other victims that Sandusky lured them, gave them favors, brought them around, and then eventually they claim took advantage of them. So it adds to the difficulties for Sandusky and it's two more counts of, if proven, of horrible, unspeakable activity.
ESPN legal analyst Roger Cossack on the latest news. Jerry Sandusky arrested today at his home as part of the ongoing grand jury investigation. Two new victims come forward, victim 9, victim 10, they're called.
And I've noticed in the media they enjoy and revel in saying number 9, number 10. All 8 of the boys allegedly sexually abused by former Penn State coach Jerry Sandusky will testify against him when preliminary hearings in the case begin next week, according to people close to the case, as reported by ABC News. And we have been following this Penn State scandal as it connects to the larger conspiracy of silence. In great detail on holyhexes.com, Penn State's deep background getting into a story that goes back many, many years. And we note that Sandusky may have been pimping out young boys to rich second-mile donors. So let's hear a disgusting clip from 2007.
Second Mile, it's gotten so big. When you started, it was so small. Now it's just huge. And the players that you have coached and are in this program, even that you didn't coach, always there to help you out.
Yeah, it's been great. You know, it's been an opportunity. It's an opportunity for me, to have been touched by so many great people who have volunteered their time and energy and opportunity to see some special young people overcome some challenges in their life and go on to lead a life of excellence. And it's grown to that point now where we really reap the rewards of a lot of effort. And it's an opportunity to throw out a rope to some kids. And if they grab hold, they can be champions.
Now, a note at the bottom of this post on Penn State scandal's deep background, a comment from DJ Sherwood, 1978. For information on how deep the cover-up goes, check out my book, Who Killed Betsy? Uncovering Penn State University's Most Notorious Unsolved Crime. And as we noted on the latest episode of New World Next Week, how the Penn State scandal just connects to the larger conspiracy of silence, but we see it breaking out all around as we've wondered and speculated out loud for weeks now. All our institutions are being destroyed before our very eyes on purpose. What are they setting us up to accept? Former Sheriff Pat Sullivan trades blue uniform for orange jumpsuit. More on the story we brought to you last week about Jonathan Elinoff of NewWorldOrderReport.com. New stuff with Peter Boyles, KHOW, an on-air interview getting into this scandal in Arapahoe County. Pat Sullivan arrested trading meth for sex. And we also have the Syracuse pedophile scandal. All around, this scandal just getting going. The related update, again from VigilantCitizen.com, recent charges of sexual abuse of children in Hollywood, just the tip of the iceberg. The flashback to our story we covered back in August on Holy Hexes, where actor Corey Feldman says pedophilia, the number one problem for child stars, then, now, always. This is how deep it goes. Our final note on HolyHexes.com sets the stage for our move to Food World Order in just a little bit. And that's the Eye of Newt. Newt Gingrich, the Illuminati choice for 2012. The photo provided with this, one of the cards, they always seem to turn up. The Illuminati card set features Newt Gingrich. But Tex Mars provides insight into the background of the number one GOP presidential candidate, Newt Gingrich, which these insights can't be found in mainstream media. In the article, The Illuminati Choice for 2012, exposing Gingrich's loyalty to the Zionist agenda, his connections and conversions to Catholicism and Opus Dei, Mitt Romney, Rick Perry, corporate puppets, but way less dangerous than Gingrich. Is Gingrich the third wave, connected to Future Shock, Alvin Toffler? Why suddenly is someone like him put forth and shoved down everyone's throat as the front runner? We can speculate it's because someone like Ron Paul could quite possibly be the last president of this country were he to come in. And perhaps that's all a part of the scheme. Anyway, that's everything on HolyHexes.com, my friends, on this episode 242, and it reminded me, for only the reason that I dug it, and back in 1993, I guess I was in kind of an industrial phase in the wake of Nine Inch Nails and Ministry and discovering that kind of stuff. Front 242 with Serial Killers Don't Kill Their Boyfriend. Front 242 on episode 242. That was my only opportunity to say that, so I took it. We've now reached foodworldorder.com on this episode 242 for Media Monarchy. Rhetoric, recalls, and recipes. Continuing the eye of Newt. Newt says Obama the finest food stamp president. And from the Washington Post, ask the question, is Obama a food stamp president? Only as much as the previous puppet, and only as much as the powers that be and shouldn't be, and the so-called elites. Let the agenda move forward while the front men and the puppets are the shadows on the wall. Super Value joins farmers behind U.S. food stamps at $71.8 billion. World food prices fall for a fifth straight month. United Nations says they may be bottoming out. 46 million on food stamps, up by two-thirds. And again, we'll reference the Texas woman denied food stamps, kills self, shoots children. Iowa pantries slash the amount of food given to families. More on that from the Des Moines Register. And a note on food bank prices. Donate locally to keep costs down from WTOP.
In an effort to encourage more direct food donations, Rebecca McGee with Dumfries-based Acts recently told WTOP it has to pay to stock food from the Capital Area Food Bank.
The prices that are offered from the Capital Area Food Bank are often higher or at the same price than the grocery store.
But Food Bank CEO Lynn Brantley says it generally charges just 19 cents a pound to distribute donated food to Acts and about 700 other organizations.
It would be hard-pressed to be able to go to Giant and get food at 19 cents a pound.
Non-donated food that the food bank buys from grocery stores, however, does come at a premium.
Can fast food toy bans really help kids eat better? Should we just ban everything? Recall of Uncle Ben's whole grain, white rice, garden vegetable packages. More on that from the Sacramento Bee. Whole Foods sued over cheese department sewage firing. A whistleblower bringing up sewage in the cheese department. That would be bringing up the issue of the sewage in the cheese department. Got fired. Now suing Whole Foods. Goya Foods celebrates their 75th anniversary. More on that again from the Sacramento Bee. Coca-Cola moves formula from bank for the first time in 86 years to a new vault at an Atlanta museum. These are some of the things we referenced on the Food World Order coverage on Corbett Report Radio last night, and a couple of updates to this from Channel News Asia. China says Coca-Cola drinks deliberately poisoned. And we close out this 12-8 binge and purge rhetoric, recalls, and recipes. Islamic cleric bans women from touching bananas and cucumbers to avoid, that's right, sexual thoughts. iNews 880 gets into the Stuff-A-Bus campaign, helping out an Edmonton food bank. And from WARC, Hershey's and Kraft top research and development charts in the U.S. Let's get this. It just sounds so delicious. Hershey's, Kraft, and the Kellogg Company are the firms seen as having the best innovation programs by U.S. consumers, a study has revealed. The Temkin Group, the consultancy, surveyed 5,000 people asking panelists how likely they would be to try new goods and services rolled out by leading brand owners right away, with Hershey's, the confectioner, leading the charts on 52.8%. The firm had well established the objective of securing 1 point of its growth algorithm per year via this route and is currently well ahead of such target for 2011. It's really about sticky innovation that's additive to both ourselves and retailers, said John Bilbray, CEO of Hershey's. Our goal is not about quantity, it's about quality and ensuring that they have net contribution as after cannibalization to our business. Study ranks 10 worst cereals for sugar. Environmental Working Group, EWG, shows worst cereal offenders. A new study shows many breakfast cereals pack so much sugar they're more like desserts. More sugar than a Twinkie with some of them. And again, we noted on the Food World Order coverage on Corbett Report Radio that number one on the list, Kellogg's Honey Smacks at 55.6% sugar by weight. The others running down the top 10 list, Post Golden Crisp, Kellogg's Fruit Loops Marshmallow, Quaker Oats Cap'n Crunch Oops All Berries, Quaker Oats Cap'n Crunch Original, Quaker Oats O's. Kellogg's S'mores, Kellogg's Apple Jacks, Quaker Oats, Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries, and finally Kellogg's Fruit Loops Original. And you thought Quaker meant quality. You can get that entire report from EWG Environmental Working Group. They are on Twitter at EWGToxics. From Bloomberg, cesium in baby milk powder shows the lingering threat of Japan radiation. It's just a lingering threat, as if it's just a fart. No, it's an ongoing nuclear crisis that's slipped away from the headlines, but we're soaking in it every day. Chick-fil-A files trademark lawsuit against Eat More Kale campaign. That's right. Some folks in Vermont, Team Kale they're called, and the creator of the Eat More Kale campaign, Bo Mueller Moore, discussing the trademark lawsuit between the small Montpelier-based business and Chick-fil-A, the fast food chain restaurant with locations around the country that, of course, closed on Sundays because they're fundamentalist Christians. And I always remember that. They were next to the movie theater. They'd always be dark on Sundays. But Eat More Kale has Vermont Governor Peter Shumlin on their side as the trademark flap more complex than a simple slogan. Chick-fil-A is basically saying Eat More Kale is like their Eat More Chicken campaign, which you wouldn't think of unless they brought it up. Finally, my friends, on foodworldorder.com and all the other sites in the kingdom, Oregon food stamps used for Starbucks Frappuccinos.
Tonight, Fox 12 investigators are tracking your money and what appears to be an unusual use for the Oregon Trail Card.
It turns out people on public assistance can use food stamps to buy things like Starbucks Frappuccinos.
Oh, wow. I can't afford to go get them often, so I don't think that's fair, no. I don't think it's right.
Taxpayers we talked to were surprised to learn that fancy coffee drinks and spendy pastries seem to be allowable under the current system for purchase with food stamps. KPTV's Natalie Brand has been looking into this and explains the loophole.
Check out the sign that caught our eye. A viewer sent us a picture from a grocery store with a Starbucks inside, clearly stating they accept the Oregon Trail Card for cold beverages and pastries. We wanted to see for ourselves.
With the help of Jackie Fowler, who has an Oregon Trail Card, Fox 12 went inside a Safeway in Salem straight to the in-store Starbucks counter. Fowler ordered a tall Frappuccino and slice of pumpkin bread and paid for both using her Oregon Trail card.
It's crazy.
Grand total, $5.25.
You know, they're overpriced as it is. And that's money that somebody else could be eating. You know, that's a loaf of bread, a gallon of milk.
Fowler, who made the purchase only for the purpose of our story, says she thinks it's a huge misuse of the food assistance program.
There's a lot of loopholes.
A spokesman with Safeway says the store recently made the change as an added convenience to customers. He said, quote, "We think that compliance with state laws is something we can easily do. According to federal guidelines used by the Oregon Trail Card, people cannot buy food that will be eaten in the store or hot food. However, luxury items that are allowed include soft drinks, candy, cookies, ice cream, even bakery cakes, and certain energy drinks. And while you cannot use an Oregon Trail Card at a corporate standalone Starbucks location, something Jackie tried and was denied, inside this Safeway, the Starbucks is run by the store.
With it being in-store, it's considered a grocery item. As long as it's cold, you can use it. It shouldn't be allowed. I mean, that's whether it's a cold item or not, you know, that's a luxury item. That's something, if you really want one, you know, save your money up and go get it. Don't use the system.
We went to the State Department of Human Services looking for answers, but a spokesman told us he was not aware this was even happening. After we showed him this picture, he said, quote, "We'll contact these grocery stores to get more information and make sure they are operating within the SNAP guidelines."
They need to do something about it and stop it.
Jackie Fowler says she gets about $118 a month for food stamps, a number that varies depending on each person who applies and is eligible. She says there's not much room for splurging.
It's just enough to get by.
Like so many, she's struggling to find work in a tough economy and says help from the government should be taken extremely seriously.
Don't go abuse the system. That's not what it's for.
I also called around to some local Albertsons and Fred Meyer stores with in-store Starbucks. They, too, said as long as it's a cold beverage or approved food, which includes sweets, it would be allowed. I'm Natalie Brandt, the 10 o'clock news.
That's how Oregon rolls. Occupy the welfare doles. That's everything in the Media Monarchy Kingdom on the main sites. That was the end of foodworldorder.com, Holy Hexes, Cyberspace War, and Media Monarchy. For the remaining time on this episode 242, December 9th, 2011, from MediaMonarchy.com, we'll look back at the breaking news currently. Britain's cold shoulder for Europe. Motive a mystery in killing and suicide at Virginia Tech. 6 minutes ago from CBS News, one dead, several hurt in Hollywood shootout. Aerial view shows the aftermath of a fatal shooting in Hollywood, California. Gunman apparently firing randomly at passing cars, shot and killed by police Friday in Hollywood. Pelosi rips GOP for skipping town without passing extensions. Britain's refusal to endorse European treaty raises worry. Don't blame David Cameron for opting out of the Euro deal. And the last big note, posted up big style on Google News. Paul's strength may help Romney in Iowa by draining support away from Gingrich. Mitt Romney may have some help in Iowa. Ron Paul, any rival who drains votes away from the rising Newt Gingrich, as Paul's allies believe he does, could help keep Romney's chief opponent at bay. And the big emotional con game begins to kick into high gear. And I'm speechless. We always want to remind you of what we've been doing for a long time now, but there's never enough time to go through and into all of it. If you go to twitter.com/MediaMonarchy, you'll get all the posts and all the stories from Food World Order, Holy Hexes, Cyberspace War, and Media Monarchy. But you also get there all the posts from Korber Report, allgov.com. You get U.S. news headlines from the Deutsche Press Agency. You get Holy Hexes updates from the Cult News Network. All that and so much more is just on twitter.com/Media Monarchy. And at the top of that page, you'll see links to two of the other connected and burgeoning Twitter feeds from Media Monarchy. That would be Pump Up the Volume. That's T-H-A, because the T-H-E was already taken. The 1990 Alan Moyle film with Christian Slater, of course, a huge influence in my life, Pump Up the Volume. We use this as primarily a music feed, what I'm listening to on vinyl, and we have multiple Song of the Day podcasts and so much more on twitter.com/pumpupthevolume, and we also have Navigate Netflix. Some of the things we've been viewing and screening and previewing and zoning out to on Netflix, on the Instant Watch, and beyond. And I realize it may come to a point where navigating Netflix sounds so dated and old because the company screwed themselves into oblivion. But we see the moves definitely for the removal and the end of DVDs by mail. And we always noted they didn't call it disc mail flicks. It's Netflix. They're going to be fine in the streaming world. Some of the things we've watched, and I don't recall if I've mentioned them or not here at the end of these shows, but a very illuminating documentary called Page One inside the New York Times. We watched the classic from 1956, The Bad Seed, Special When Lit, a pinball documentary, and Beats, Rhymes, and Life, The Travels of a Tribe Called Quest. You can see more about that on twitter.com/NavigateNetflix. But to the main site, NavigatingNetflix.com, brought to you by Media Monarchy and TragedyAndHope.com. I've been updating the suggestions tab with just some of the things that have been discussed within the Navigating Netflix community and group in the TragedyAndHope.com community, which the invitation is there for you to join us, and we can go, like Pauline Kael said, deeper into movies. That is everything. I glance over my notes to make sure we didn't forget. Oh, and we did. We want to thank our most recent donors. David in the UK, a recurring donor. Huge thanks. Vandalism begins at home. And Sherwin in British Columbia, huge thanks. Your support helps keep Media Monarchy going and growing. If you have never donated before, please click the button on the top right of the homepage. Your support can keep all this going. Microphones, headphones, Skype credit, GoDaddy, domains, and all of those things and more, that we don't go broke doing this. And we can bring you jam-packed, amazing, consistently well-produced and timely episodes. We have a total lunar eclipse coming up in just a few short hours. It's the second one for 2011 and the last full one until 2014. And it's going to be seen best in the Pacific Northwest, early December 10th, hitting its peak at about 6 a.m. Pacific time. We watch when the events happen in the sky as they seem to influence events here on Earth. As above, so below. We know that the magicians and the alchemists and the families and the leaders and the misleaders and the so-called elite, they have used their occulted and hidden knowledge about the real world, hidden it away from us, and use it against us as a weapon. We're trying to use this open source intelligence and alternative media outlets to spread this kind of information forward. And I'm just one small voice trying to figure it out myself. We see the events in the sky mirror cataclysmic events here on Earth. So just don't lose your head. Don't wig out about all the latest things, about the FEMA camps, about all of those things. We can learn ourselves forward. We cannot fall for the same things again and again. But I do at least want to always put out the warnings to watch the skies, essentially. Literally and figuratively. As I mentioned, the weekly Food World Order appearance with James Corbett Thursday nights on Corbett Report Radio on RBN. I have my latest videos with Bob Tuscan coming very soon on YouTube.com/Media Monarchy. All that and so very much more from the hardest working alternative media site, your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. We're going to go out this week with a cover of The Kinks, Muswell Hillbillies, done by Tim O'Brien, and it's on the Kinks and Ray Davies tribute album, This Is Where I Belong. Keeping the media and the memes and the synchro mysticism going from the beginning of one episode to the end of another and continuing. Thank you so much, my friends. Episode 242, December 9th, 2011, MediaMonarchy.com. My name's James Evan Pilato, reminding you, as always, don't hate the media, become the media. Take care.
Well, I said goodbye to Rosie Rook this morning. I'm gonna miss her bloodshot alcoholic eyes. She wore her Sunday hat so she'd impress me. I'm gonna carry her memory till the day I die. They'll move me up to Muswell Hill tomorrow. Photographs and souvenirs are all I've got. They're gonna try and make me change my way of living, but they'll never make me something that I'm not. 'Cause I'm a Muswell hillbilly boy, but my heart lies in old West Virginia. Never seen New Orleans or Oklahoma, Tennessee. Still I dream of those Black Hills that I ain't never seen. Putting us in identical little boxes. No character, just uniformity. They're trying to build a computerized community, but they'll never make a zombie out of me. 'Cause I'm a Muswell hillbilly boy, but my heart, it lies in old West Virginia. sing New Orleans, Oklahoma, Tennessee. Still I dream of those Black Hills that I ain't never seen. They'll try to make me study elocution. I guess they think my accent isn't right. They can clear the slums as part of their solution, but they're never gonna kill my Cockney pride, 'cause I'm a Muswell Hill Billy Boy. But my heart, it lies in old West Virginia. Never seen New Orleans, Oklahoma, Tennessee. Still I dream of those Black Hills that I ain't never seen.
MediaMonarchy.com is your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies and cover-ups. Featuring weekly radio shows on the Portland Radio Authority, DRAradio.org, the New World Nexus video series with CorbettReport.com, plus special interview episodes, B-sides, mixtapes and so much more. Send news tips to MediaMonarchy@gmail.com. You can make a donation, or mail Media to the Monarchy, at P.O. Box 12165, Portland, Oregon, 97212. Thanks to all the internet and community radio stations who broadcast these shows, and most of all, thanks to you. Remember, don't hate the media, become the media.
Whether he went on with the diary, or whether he did not go on with it, made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.